a reading from the book of Luke, chapter 19. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, his owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and in glory in the highest.'" I wonder what the first thing is that comes to your mind when you hear the words generous or generosity. Do you perhaps think of those charity ads that you get on the telly? Maybe it's slogans like "every penny counts." Or is it like Kai's response to the question when I asked him, who said, I can't hear the word generous without seeing the face of the late great Terry Wogan on Children in Need. I wonder if the things that you thought of were perhaps mainly to do with money. And if it was, I don't think I'd be that surprised, because I think generally, you know, whenever we think about the word generous or generosity, our thoughts turn to money. You know, you hear the words, "Tonight we're going to talk about generosity," and we immediately translate that into, "Tonight I'm going to talk about how I want you to give me all your money." But in reality, generosity is so much more than that, isn't it? And tonight I want us to think a little bit about why, as Christians, we're called to be generous people, and why generosity is a holy habit that is good for us to have. Now, as a general rule, as Christians, one of our aims, isn't it, is that we want to become more like Jesus. And Jesus was a generous man. But as far as I can tell, Jesus was never, or very rarely, was generous with money. I mean, I guess for the best part, he didn't really have any money. Jesus came from a poor family, and throughout his ministry, he was generally reliant on other people for things like food and somewhere to sleep. And so Jesus, he didn't have any money, but it didn't stop him from being generous. You know, Jesus was always generous with his time. He never ever complained when people came up to him, and he was, I think, one of the most interrupted men on the planet. You know, throughout his earthly ministry, most of the miracles I think that Jesus did came because he was interrupted. You know, the bleeding woman was healed because she interrupted Jesus by touching his cloak. On that same journey that Jesus was taking, he was interrupted by Jairus, who wants Jesus to go and to heal his daughter who is sick. And then after he's healed Jairus's daughter, he's interrupted again by two blind men. On another day, he's interrupted by a funeral parade, which ends up in him raising a woman's son from the dead. When Jesus is in a house speaking, he's interrupted by a bunch of blokes who put a hole in the roof and lower their paralyzed mate through so that he can be healed. After a long day's teaching, in which incidentally Jesus also fed 5,000 people or so with two loaves and five fishes, he's done all this. Jesus heads out onto the lake for a bit of well-deserved R&R, and he's interrupted by a storm and his scaredy disciples, both of which need calming. The Gospels are full of stories of Jesus being interrupted. And in every single one of these stories, we see Jesus choosing to be generous with his time. In all these stories, we see Jesus being generous in such a way that he never says no to anyone. He never says, "I'm too busy." When the disciples try to keep the children from Jesus, doesn't he? When he says to people, no, keep them away, Jesus is too busy. Jesus stops them and he gives them a telling off. And he has the children and he blesses them. In all these stories, we see Jesus being generous with time, but with his power as well. You know, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus had all the power of heaven at his fingertips. And yet he was generous with that. He healed people. He prophesied over them. He did all these things. You know, and in all these things, Jesus was generous with his love. With all these things I've mentioned in just the last couple of minutes, all of them were things that Jesus did because he generously loved people. We're in this season of Lent just now, leading up to Good Friday and Easter, which is the time, isn't it, when we're even more reminded of Jesus's ultimate act of love and generosity, when he died and rose again so that we might be forgiven. In Jesus' life and ministry, he modelled for us what it means to be generous. And of course, yes, being generous does involve being generous with our money and our finances. But I think what Jesus does is Jesus shows us that you know, being generous is so much more than that. In the book of Galatians, we're told about the fruits of the Spirit. Now, here goes. Last time I did this, I missed one out, I know. Okay, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. Basically, the characteristics of a Spirit-filled Christian. You know, if we profess to be a Christian, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then these fruits are the things that should be evident in our lives. These are the things that other people should see in us. And why am I telling you this? Well, because the fruit of the Spirit that we generally refer to now as kindness is actually also translated as generosity. Being generous is an outward sign that we are Spirit-filled Christians. Becoming generous, being more generous, is all part of the process by which we are transformed to be more and more like Christ. Being generous is one of the ways that we can show Christ to others. And so I think we're all called to follow Jesus' example, to be generous with things like our time. I know someone once, I forget who, but someone once said to me that being generous with your time is one of the most precious gifts you can give someone, because you are quite literally giving them a portion of your life that you're never going to get back. And I always thought that struck me as really special. And Jesus, yeah, Jesus was generous with his time. You know, he talked to people, he listened to them, and he did it for everyone. You know, he gave his time to the people that the rest of the society said weren't worth it. When he was tired or busy, when he had what the rest of the world would say would be really good legitimate excuses for not spending time with people, he went against the social convention and he gave his time to others. Now, I don't know what it's like in Abba, because most of the time we've lived here, we've been in lockdown, so I don't know. And I don't know what it's like where you live, but where we used to live, we used to get fairly regular knocks on the door from our local Jehovah's Witnesses. And do you know, I came to the conclusion that we can learn a lot about them from the generosity of time. Because despite our differences in beliefs, despite the fact that they knew we were a two-vicar household and that the chances of them converting us were zero, despite those things, they were always happy to stand and chat through issues of life and faith together. And you know, not once did I ever get the feeling that they wouldn't stand there and give me their entire day if I wanted them to. And yet so many oft times, how many times do we say to people, oh, I'm sorry, I can't stop. I'm just on my way somewhere else. Or, oh, I'd love to chat with you, or I'd love to help you, but I'm really busy. And yet we're called to follow Jesus's example, to be generous with our time. And I think when it comes to developing this habit of generosity, actually so much of it is actually about us choosing to be intentional. Because, you know, if we want to be more generous with our time, then it is never going to happen on its own, is it? You know, life will always get in the way. Life will always be busy. And so we have to choose to prioritise giving our time to other people. But of course, it wasn't just time that Jesus was generous with. He was generous with his power too. And I'm not really quite sure how I want to word this, which I know is not helpful just now, but what am I trying to say? You know, Jesus had power, and he was always healing people, and he was always prophesying over people and giving words of knowledge, and he did all these things because he had the power of God inside him. And he never kept that power to himself. He was always sharing it with others and using it to bless people. And well, yeah, you and me, we have that same power, don't you? Don't we? Inside of us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do all those things that Jesus did. And in fact, in John's Gospel, Jesus tells us that we'll even do greater things than he did. And if that's the case, then we too have got to be generous with the spiritual gifts that we're given. We should be practicing them liberally, you know, just like chucking them out there for everybody, you know, anyone and everyone that we meet, just to be blessed by the spiritual gifts that we've got. You know, if you've got the gift of hospitality, go out there and be generous with that. If you've got the gift of encouragement, be generous with it. Be generous in the way that you pray for other people. You know, I know for me, God's given me this kind of bit of a gift for prophecy. But I also know that I am not always as generous with it as I could be or should be. And it's not because I'm sitting here going, oh, well, I don't like that person, so I'm not going to pray for them. But to my shame, you know, other stuff gets in the way. And so simply, I'm not always as intentional about using it as I should be. And I think that's it, isn't it? You know, however we can be generous. And I've only just mentioned a couple of things, but, you know, whether it's time or money or talents or spiritual gifts or encouraging words. Oh, encouraging words. That's a good one, isn't it? How important is it for us to be encouraging, to be generous in the way that we encourage others or use kind words to others? It's such a simple thing for us to do, but, you know, we could totally change a person's day or week by doing it. But anyway, whatever it is, if we want to be generous people, then we have to be people who are intentional about doing it, don't we? We have to be people who choose to prioritize being generous and to not let other things get in the way. And I've said all this, but what about today's reading? What does that have to do with the holy habit of generosity? The eagle-eared among you will have noticed that up to this point I have totally ignored it. And, well, I think I've done so with good reasons, because Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday isn't what you'd call perhaps the obvious reading for a talk on generosity. But if we go back to the beginning of the story, Jesus says an interesting thing to a couple of his disciples. He basically says to them, right, lads, nip into the village. You're going to find a colt tied up that no one's ever ridden. Essentially, I need you to steal it for me and bring it back. Oh, and if anyone tells you or stops you to ask you why, just tell them it's because I need it. And so off the guys go, and they find the colt, just as Jesus said they would. And funnily enough, the colt's owners did say to them, what are you doing? And I mean, can you imagine them? They're, you know, they're just in the village doing their own thing, and two fellas come up and start to steal their donkey right in front of them, like it's the most normal thing in the world. And yet, when the disciples say to them, oi, you know, why are you taking it? Sorry, when the disciples then say to them, well, it's because God needs it, or the Lord needs it. There's no discussion, is there? There's no, well, why does he need it? Or how long does he need it for? Am I ever going to get this donkey back? The words, the Lord needs it, are enough. And they just give it to them without question. And I know some people will say, well, maybe the donkey owners knew who Jesus was already, and that's why they gave it to them. But I'm going to let you into a secret. I love Jesus a lot. But if I looked over the hedge in a minute and saw a couple of lads trying to steal my car, them just telling me, oh, Jesus needs it, would not be enough for me to let them take it. They're in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem at this time, kind of like the higher ups, they're quite rich and doing all right. But as a general rule, your average person wasn't rich. You know, when they thought that Jesus was the Messiah, lots of them thought that Jesus had come back to restore Israel's fortune. So it's fair to say, I think, that the donkey owners, they weren't wealthy people. They probably wouldn't have been in a position to just give up their donkey. I think in letting the disciples have it, they were making a big sacrifice. They were showing generosity. They were giving it to somebody who they believed needed it. But I think this is what I think is really interesting about this story. The situation that these guys were in is that two strangers turned up and started to take their property, property that would cost them a lot. And yet, despite this, despite being up against it, their response is generosity. How we react under pressure or when we're up against it tells a lot about a person, doesn't it? I mean, for example, Jesus was generous, even under pressure. In the events that follow his entry into Jerusalem, as the time approaches him, the time approaches for Jesus to be crucified, we see just how generous he is. When the soldiers seize Jesus, Peter cuts off one of the soldiers' ears. And Jesus, despite his own kind of personal situation, immediately heals the soldier. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus has like truly got the weight of the world on his shoulders, chooses generosity of love, and he chooses to go to the cross for us. And then even when he's on the cross, he's properly up against it with pain and torment. He looks with generous love on John and his mother, and he makes sure that his mother's going to be cared and provided for. Even in his last moments on the cross, in his generosity, Jesus is thinking of you and of me as he pleads to the Father, forgive them. Generosity is not just about when life is easy, but it's about when life is hard and tough as well. And I think that's a real challenge for all of us, isn't it? You know, I don't know about you, but I am not always the best version of myself when I'm up against it. You know, when money is tight, I'm more likely to hang on to it than I am to give it away. When my back is up against the wall and I'm pressed for time, I am more likely to put off talking to someone than I am to offer to give them my time. And I am certainly not quite so good at the being generous with kind words when I'm stressed. And yet, so often, isn't it? It's when we're under pressure, it's when we're up against it, that is when our good habits slip back to bad habits and our generosity can fail us. But I think probably those are often the very times when we should be more generous than ever. And if we want to be like that, then I think it comes from, we have to practice generosity, don't we? You know, the more we do it, the more it becomes a habit. And the more it becomes a habit, the more it becomes our natural nature. And kind of the more it's our natural nature, then the more we're being transformed into genuinely generous people. And I think as that happens, then we do become the type of people who are generous, even when we're up against it, even when we're under pressure. And don't get me wrong, I know that that is easier said than done. But that's when our other holy habits, our habits of scripture reading and of prayer, can come in to help us. And we need a bucket load of the Holy Spirit to help us. But we got to rely on those things, because being generous is important. And you know, I think it's important because being generous gives us an even greater opportunity to show God's love to others. You know, if we're generous with things that we have lots of, or things that that have kind of no personal cost to us at all, it's good. But I think when we're willing to be generous with all that we've got, and even when it comes at a cost to us, I think that's when people look up and take notice. And I don't mean we want people to look up and take notice of us so we can go, ha ha, look how great we are. I mean, I want them to sit up and take notice, to say, why would you do that? Or why would you do that even though that person treated you badly? Or why would you give that even though you don't have very much? And like I always say, and I'm sure I'll say it again, is as soon as someone asks why, that's when we have the opportunity to share Jesus with them. And that's when we have the opportunity to share Jesus with them from a place where they can already see how he's changed our life and the impact that he has on our life. And that, I think, is why this holy habit of generosity is just so important, you know, because it's a sign that we're spirit-filled Christians, because it's a sign, it's part of us being transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. And it enables us to show the love and the generosity of Jesus to others. The love and the generosity of Jesus, whose generosity of love and provision to us, you know, knows no bounds. And so as we finish let's just pray together, shall we? Oh God, we thank you. We thank you that you are a generous God. We thank you that we can see your generosity all around us. All we have to do is just to look at your amazing creation and to see how generous you are. Oh Lord, we thank you for the unnumbered blessings that you pour out upon us. Thank you for the gifts and the skills that you've given us. Thank you for our families and our friends that you have blessed us with. Thank you for all that you give us each and every day. And Lord, we pray that you would give us grateful and thankful hearts, and that we would recognize the many blessings that you pour out upon us. And Father, we just want to take just a moment to say sorry. To say sorry for the times when we have taken your generosity for granted. For the times when we've been selfish and put our own wants above the needs of others. For the times when we've not shared generously with others what we have. And Father, we thank you that because of Jesus, we are forgiven. And God, we ask that you would help us to be generous people. Help us to willingly share what we have with others, and would you remove the temptation for us to count the cost? Would you change our hearts, Lord, that we might have generous hearts, that we would know that all that we have comes from you, and we pray that you would help us to use all that we have to bless others. Help us to hold lightly what we have and to be ready and willing to give all that we have to your service and to further your kingdom. Amen.